Thank you for that. Again, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and thank you for being faithful and being here on your in your place on this Sunday following Thanksgiving. I'll look at someone today in our reading here that's a bit of a confusing individual. If you sometimes when I read the Bible, I see people who to me are like walking contradictions. I guess in my mind, I can't figure them out. On one hand, they seem like they're great, they're good, and then on the other hand, they do something. It's like, what was that all about? And we're going to look at one of those today. But there are many of those in the Bible. They seem spot on 1 minute, and they're totally off base the next. I think of Jacob. 1 minute he's being obedient to God, and the next minute he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's doing right, then he's lying, and he's trying, and then he's being deceitful. Samson was a great deliverer. If you want to walk through a dark alley, he's the guy you want with you. Okay, if a fight breaks out, you grab a cup of coffee and sit down. You take him with you on Black Friday. Okay, you'll be just fine. All right, Samson will get to the front of the line every time, and he'll clear that mall out before you know it. But then again, on the other hand, here he is giving in to women over and over and over, and his life ended up in tragedy. I think of Peter, even to a smaller extent. Here's a guy that followed Jesus and gave up everything, and I'll die for you. And next thing you know, he's out cussing and acting like he doesn't even know who the Lord is. One of the ones that confuses me a lot, and maybe I'm wrong about him, is Joab, David's general. Here's a guy that fought for David and did all these things, but yet in the background, he did his own thing. And that didn't end very well for him. By the way, sometimes we see that in secular history. During our Revolutionary War, the fight America fought in the 1700s for our independence, there was a great general who was a very pivotal character in the Revolution. In fact, without him, we would not have won the war. He won several great victories for us. But yet, when history thinks back on him, by the way, he's even wounded in battle, had a permanent limp. But when we think back on him, history does not favor him very well, because he was a traitor at the end, and that's Benedict Arnold. And when we think of Benedict Arnold, we think of a traitor, but yet without his early victories and leadership, that war would never have been won. And so there's contradictions like that throughout history. Today we're going to meet one. His name is Jehu. If you look at his actions, you will be impressed by how boldly and quickly he followed God's commands, destroyed those who were disobedient and that God wanted to deal with. He even tried to stamp out a false worship. His name was Jehu. He was a commander in the army of Ahab. He was used by God to clean up the mess. Ahab was one of the worst kings and really set the nation on a very bad path, of course, being married to Jezebel. And he ended up, God told him that he was with some of his other buddies, and a prophet came and said, anointed him and said, you're going to be the next king. And he went out and he eradicated, he killed both of the kings, the king of Judah, Azariah, and he also killed the king of Israel. Then he says, and then in this, I mean, this is all very sudden. And then he has a little contest. He gets all the false worshipers of Baal together, and he exterminates them. But you think about it, it's like, here's a guy that, by the way, a lot of us, if we're not new to the Bible, that seems harsh, but these people were very pagan and very foul. And if you do the history, and we'll mention a little bit of it, they needed to be dealt with, and God used him. So here's this guy, and you're reading the story, and God's like, you're the next king. And he goes, and he deals with that guy. He deals with that king. He deals with the false worshipers, and he fulfills God's prophecy to Jezebel and has her terminated. And then here's this guy, like, I'm zealous and all this stuff. And then you read verse 31. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. Although he did all this for the Lord, he did not continue in following him. He loved that action part. Let me go be a general and wipe out all of God's enemy, and I'm excited about it, and I'm zealous about that. But when it came to obeying God, he didn't follow through. When it came to forsaking the sins of Jeroboam, Jeroboam set up a false... Jeroboam was the first king when the kingdom split. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, didn't handle things right, so they split the kingdom, and God gave it to Jeroboam there, and instead of trusting God, he built a false calf. Hundreds of years later, God was still irritated with that thing, and he didn't follow through, and he was worshiping the wrong calf. He's very confusing. He did really good for a while, but he didn't seem to end very well. A lot of Christians practice the same type of Christianity that Jehu followed God with. One minute, we are just overexcited about God. One minute, we're willing to be missionaries to Antarctica. By the way, no one lives there. And then the next minute, we can't even make it to church. We do our own thing. There were flashes of commitment in Jehu's life, followed by a failure of conviction. That happens so often with us. And I don't think God wants us to be walking contradictions. You look at Jehu and say, wait a minute, what was going on with this guy? He seemed to be doing well, but it didn't end up right. I don't want us to suffer from Jehu Christianity. And I want us to look at three areas in Jehu's life that can help us to learn so we can avoid being a Jehu type of Christian. Up on the mountaintop one day, down in the valley the next. That's not where God wants us to be. God wants us to be even keel for him. Not that we're perfect, not that we don't have our ups and downs, but we're just, we swing so violently back and forth in our Christianity, and God doesn't want that. First of all, I want you to notice the positives of Jehu's life. Before we look at his mistakes, I do want to notice some of the good that he did. He accomplished much in a very short time. By the way, that's a good thing for us to understand. You know, sometimes we become Christians and we think we have to wait forever before we can clean up our life and God can do something in our life. Do you know that doesn't need to be the case? Do you know God can work through us right away if we'll let him? But Jehu had some positives in his life. Look at the positives in his action. In 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 22, if your Bible is open, you can go back there. It says, and it came to pass when Jehoram saw Jehu that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. He's going there and it's like, he sees the king, says, hey, what's going on? He's like, look, there's never going to be peace here because your mother's causing issues and you're letting that happen. He was standing up for what was right, especially against Jezebel's influence. Her influence was very bad. She, in essence, was the one propping her husband up, Ahab, to do the dumb things he was doing. Her little daughter married one of the kings of Judah and messed that whole thing up. She was not a good lady. And he's like, no, I understand that. Chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, know now that there shall fall unto the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab, for the Lord hath done that which he spake by his servant Elijah. He was fulfilling God's predetermined judgment to the T. In verse 27 and 28 of chapter 10, and they break down the image of Baal, and break down the house of Baal, and made it a drought house unto this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. He eliminated that false worship. Now, in a message coming up, I'll explain a little bit later, a different message about how wicked this was. But Jehu had good actions. By the way, that should be the norm for us as Christians. Sometimes we get so sloppy in our Christianity thinking that, you know what? Long as I love Jesus, he loves me no matter what I do. That is 100% correct. But just because he loves us in spite of the fact of what we do does not excuse what we do. Yeah. As parents, we will love our children even when our children maybe aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, but that the fact that we still love them doesn't mean we want them to continue doing the things that they should not be doing. Our actions ought to line up. And Jehu's actions did, and I think ours. A change in our actions should always accompany the salvation of the soul. I'm sorry, it should. There ought to be something different about us if we know Jesus Christ, because he lives inside of us and because he works through us. So Jehu had positive actions, and so should we. He also was positive in his acknowledgments. 2 Kings chapter 10, if you look at verse 16 there, it says, and he says, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in his chariot. As he picked up Jehonadab, he picked him up and he said, hey, why don't you come with me? I'm going to show you my zeal for the Lord. By the way, I kind of like that. Too often we want to talk zealously and we don't want to act zealously. But he said, I want you to come and I want you to see what I'm doing. I am zealous for the Lord. And he was. We are the right kind of Christian. We will act the right way and we will say the right things. We will be different. There will be positives in our life. And as we're looking at Jehu here, and I'll make some application at the very end, I want us to understand that let's keep the positives and let's be careful about the negatives. Let's be the kind of people that God wants us to be. We cannot continue to use God's grace and as an excuse not to live up to what God wants us to live up to be. You know, I've read all the books and I've heard the over the years, you know, it's like, you know, just there was just this pressure of trying to live right. And I just realized that God just loves me. Listen, get over that nonsense. God loves you no matter what you do. Look, my kids know I love them. And I'm not out to always get on them, but I hope they understand if they do something knuckleheaded, that dad's right there like, what was that all about? Okay? I still love them. I'm not trying to crush them, but it's like there's an accountability time here. Hey, let's not use God's grace to be sloppy in our Christianity. Now, I'm glad it's there that when I do something knuckleheaded myself, I can come to God and say, you know, Lord, that was not my best moment. That was not good. And God's like, you're forgiven. We'll move on. But I don't want to ever use that as an excuse before I do something knuckleheaded to say it's okay, because after all, God still loves me. That's dangerous ground to tread, by the way. But let's be very careful. Let's not be sloppy. God does love us. So we saw some of the positives, but I want you to see a couple negatives here. I think this is where some of us struggle sometimes. This is where the problem lies. This is where he starts to head south. What were two of the negatives I want us to notice? He had actions without relationship. The actions that he took were not motivated by his love for God. You know, I have a feeling that he kind of liked what he was doing. He was a war guy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he wasn't some guy, you know, you look at Jacob and Esau. Jacob was, he was not a sissy, but he was a little softer than his brother Esau. Esau was the hunter and all that stuff and like, let's go do it. And Jacob wasn't a sissy by any stretch of the math, but he wasn't Esau. And you know, Jehu was a guy like, hey, I need you to go eradicate these kings. He's like, let's go. You know, it wasn't like, hey, I need you to go, you know, knit this quilt. He wasn't in on that. He kind of liked the tough guy stuff. And I imagine it was very easy for him to go like, I'll take that king out, I'll take that king out, I'll take Jezebel out, and I'll take out all of the leaders of the worship of Baal, and I have a feeling he kind of enjoyed it. But there was something he was missing. He was missing that relationship with God, that love for God, that should have been the motive for why he was doing what he was doing, not just because he liked it. Even when we're doing something that God would want us to do, if we don't have a proper motive or relationship with God, it can become a problem. Hey, why do we do what we do? You say, you know, I come to church because I just enjoy it. I don't really get the concept behind it. Or what, I just kind of enjoy it. That's great. But you know, there's going to be a time on a Sunday morning that alarm clock's going to go off. And you're not going to think, praise God, it's time for church. You're going to think, where's the hammer? I want to go back to bed. You know, or sometimes, oh yeah, you know, I've just been reading the Bible. It's very interesting. I kind of enjoy it. What about that morning when you don't enjoy it? See, we got to get past this emotional thing. It's got to be a relationship thing. Because, you know, look, sometimes you feel closer to your family than you do on other times, right? And what about those times you're not feeling it? Well, you do it because it's right and it's motivated by love, not because you're feeling it. And so it's important we have a relationship with God. It's not just what we do, it is why we do it. And you can have action like he did for a while, but if you don't have the relationship for God, the action will eventually go away. And then you get this bitterness or whatever's going on in your life. Listen, you need to have Jehu. God told him to do something. He did it, but he really didn't care to keep that relationship with God. If you got a If you got a task for me to do, I'll do it, but I don't want to really know him in a close way. Action without relationship. Think of your marriage. When you were courting, you used to do things for each other because you loved and wanted to please the other person. But what happens as time goes on, it's like, now I got to do it just to keep the old lady happy. By the way, don't call her old lady. But you don't understand, Pastor Myers, she is old. Look in the mirror. So are you, cowboy. Okay. You know, it's like, now it's like, okay, if I don't do that, he'll be upset with me. Before, you used to do it because you wanted to please them. And I know sometimes we do that. I get it. I'm not perfect here. I understand the whole concept, all right? But it's nicer if we still wanted to have that relationship that we had when we were trying to catch them. We got used to it. Now it's just like we're just doing things because that's, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with doing things just because you're supposed to do them. But if that's how you live all the time, that's a problem. You might want to work on the relationship. Come to the marriage retreat next year. It's going to be great, okay? First commercial. But he had an action without a relationship. If your relationship with God is not strong, then your actions will not continue. Here's what happens also. For some who have been Christians for a while, sometimes we started doing the proper actions with the proper motive and with a proper relationship behind it, but as time goes on, the relationship drifts and the actions become meaningless or seem unnecessary. That's why some of you struggle. Some of you that have been around here for a while, man, you used to be on fire for God and you were doing, if we had a Tuesday, you were here, you couldn't wait, and now you've kind of slipped off and it's like, what's happened? That relationship's probably drifted a little bit, so things aren't quite as exciting as it used to be. So what do you do? Keep doing what you're supposed to do, but get back to that relationship aspect and your love for God. You know what God really wants from you? You. He just wants you. Everything that stems from that is because he wants you. Second problem he had, his negative, was he had zeal without obedience. The two phrases in there just don't compute. We read the verse. He said, come and see my zeal for the Lord. And then what we read in our scripture reading was, he took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord. That's just incompatible. The problem with us sometimes is we're excited to do, but we don't want to spend the time to know. Do you know that Christians, let me explain this to you. You need to know what this book is all about. That is your responsibility. Okay. Now, how do you do that? Come to church, we'll teach it and we'll preach it, but you better get it on your own. If all you're getting is what we give you here at church, that's helpful, it's not enough. You got to feed yourself at home. You have to know to have that knowledge. When I got right with God and I was going to serve him with my life, I was ready, and I started doing some of the actions, but behind that, I started getting in that book because I wanted to know him and know everything behind what he wanted to me to do and why I was doing it. Don't just, yeah, man, I love being on the bus ride. I love seeing that bus filled. Why? Well, if you have a knowledge of the Word of God, it's because you understand God loves everybody. And God wants to make a difference in people's lives, and God wants to make a difference in their life by making a difference in my life so I can help them. But if we don't know the Word of God, we get, you know why some of you get caught up with some knucklehead on the internet? Because you don't get in the Bible. You want someone else to force feed you something that you don't even know if it's true. Because you haven't taken enough time to really know God and know what His Word says. But we're excited about God, but I know this person, man, and they get up and they yell and they scream and they talk about all this stuff. What's the Bible say? Can you even comprehend that? Let's know God. Let's be excited about Him, but know what He wants so we can obey Him. You know, some people want to stand for God. They just like to fight, but they won't submit to Him. Oh, if someone says something about the Lord, like, hey, no, that's my... But yet God tells them something, it's like, time out, I don't want to hear that. So zeal without obedience. We like to shout, but we don't want to show our love. How do we show our love for God? Let me give two verses and we'll move on to a couple of thoughts and we're done. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, I love Jesus. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. How many of you love Jesus? Man, come on, the hands that all go up. Okay, you didn't have to, but thanks for sharing. Okay? Because I didn't want you to think I'm setting you up for the next one. If you love me, keep my commandments. I joke around sometimes, like, oh, there's always a catch. You know? He says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Oh, but I love Jesus and I can do what I want and He'll forgive me. That's not what Jesus said. You know, when we hear something from the Bible, we might want to take the whole Bible into context. Sometimes I hear people talk about their relationship with Jesus like, man, just read the New Testament. That will really help you. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. It's very important. We can't keep them if we don't know them. Okay? Don't substitute doing something for obeying what He says. Jehu did that. I'll kill everybody you want me to kill, Lord, but to walk in your law and do what you want, don't bother me with that. See, we kind of like cafeteria style. Ooh, I like that, right? Okay, I don't like that. You know, Thanksgiving. How many of you, was there something that was served at Thanksgiving you didn't take? Really? You guys are pigs, man. Give me the traditionals, right? Turkey. I'm gonna just philosophize for a minute. Stuffing. Mashed potatoes. Gravy, corn with bacon bits. You know what? I'm even weird. I like green bean casserole. Okay. Now, my wife loves yams. I think yams are a sick joke on society. Okay. Are yams potatoes? Are they? What a waste of a potato. Potatoes were made to be mashed and gravy to be put on top. Can I get a witness? If I wanted candy potatoes, I don't, okay? But so maybe there was some things that, by the way, don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But if you had salad on Thanksgiving, what is wrong with you? That, you know why they put those at all-you-can-eat buffets? So they make a profit on you. Okay, that's rabbit food. All right, now back to the message. The point is, we bring that mentality into our Christianity. God says this, this, and this. It's like, oh, I like that one, you know. Samson liked that. Go kill the Philistines. I'm in. Don't be immoral. Whoa, what's that all about? Okay. It all goes together. We got to take it all. Some of it we don't like. So we saw the positives. We saw the negatives of his life. Lastly, I want you to see the lessons of his life. What can help us to be more consistent in our faith? What can help us not to be like Jehu? Because fact of the matter is, to a small extent, all of us are. I hope to a great extent. Great extent we're not, but how can we avoid Jehu Christianities? Let me give you a couple and we're done. Letter A, we must be aggressive. I said, what do you mean aggressive? Was that like what I was doing on Black Friday? No. Christian aggressiveness, okay? But how many of you saw it? My daughter, we were in the car coming from somewhere. She goes, hey, she did a hashtag like on something. Black Friday fights. I saw some of those. Those were pretty good. I got to be honest with you. You say, you shouldn't watch that kind of stuff. Well, I'm Jehu in a couple areas. Pray for me. I saw one, and this lady did something, and this lady's beating her up. I'm like, you know what? To be honest, she deserved to get beaten up. She shouldn't have done that. Okay. And then I asked the Lord to forgive me, and we moved on with my life. That's not the kind of aggressive I'm talking about. You know what I mean by aggressive? What are we waiting for? If we're a Christian, you know the time to serve God and get going right now. No, you know, I'm just going to take some time and grow in your faith. We'll get to that in a minute. But be aggressive about it. You know, I like the Apostle Paul. Paul was on his way to kill people, Christians, for loving Jesus. He got saved. Chapter 9 of verse 19 to 20. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. I mean, he just got saved. This is days within the time he was going to kill Christians. He is out now trying to encourage people to become Christians. I'll hear people sometimes, you can't be baptized until you take a class. What are we waiting for? You're saved and you love Jesus and you know you're saved, get baptized. Well, I'll serve God and I'll do some of those things, but I want to just take my, do it. God's, look, just get in. It's better just to jump in right away than to take your time. Be aggressive about your Christianity. If God says do it, you don't have to wait for it. You don't need a class. And we try to teach you and all those things, but just go for it. Yeah. Jehu got that right. Okay? God said do this, and within a few days, there were dead bodies of God's enemies everywhere, and Jehu was on the throne and things were going. That was not the bad part. Let's be aggressive about our Christianity. There's far too many of us. Look, why don't we be as aggressive with our Christianity as we are about our football team? Hello. Okay? By the way, the Lakers are finally good again. Everybody likes the Lakers. Good. That's fine. But why don't we love Jesus like we more, not like we do, let's just say more than we love our sports teams? Because they let us down. Reference Ram fan, okay? When's the best time to start running your Christian race? Here's when you run it. As soon as the shotgun goes off. And that's when you get saved. So let's be aggressive. We must be aggressive. Second, we must be growing. Some people get the aggressive part right, but they don't get the growing part right, and the two have to go together. The aggressive gets you going. The growing keeps you going. Wow, that was pretty good. We'll make a song out of that, okay? I don't even know what I just said, but sometimes it sounds pretty good. We must be growing. Let me give you a couple of verses. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, which they lie in wait to deceive. In other words, all over the map. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Don't be caught up in all this stuff back and forth. Be solid and grow up in your faith. Become a strong Christian by being connected to his word. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace. You will never arrive as a Christian, but you ought to always be progressing. And once you stop progressing, all the other things you're doing will become meaningless and empty, and you will back off. Be growing in your faith. Because if you're not going forward, you're going to start going backward. If you're not growing, you're going to start dying. By the way, fruit in your life is a result of growth. You know, God talks about being a fruitful Christian and fruit growing in your life. What is that? Fruit are the things of the Christian life that become a part of you naturally as you're growing in your faith. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all those things. The fruit of helping other people, that all just comes as a result. You want to check your growth? What areas have you changed in your life? Who have you helped? Ask yourself the hard questions. Am I spending time in his word? Do I feel like I'm getting closer to him? Am I changing, becoming more like what he wants me to be? So we must be growing. Third, we must be faithful. We must be faithful. I said be aggressive, but you know what? Also be consistent. Be faithful. Sometimes people don't grow as fast as others, and I'm okay with that. As long as they're trying to grow, and they're, you know, there might be a new Christian in here. Maybe you've only been in here a Christian a month or so. And the fact of the matter, in God's eyes, you might be, and I hate to use the term like this, but understand, a better Christian than someone that's been a Christian for 15 years. Because you might be going the right direction, they might be going the wrong direction. It's all about direction. Are you growing? Are you faithful? Is it something you do all of the time? Here's one way to tell if you're struggling. Are there things you used to do for God, you used to do faithfully, and you no longer do them faithfully? That's a sign that Jehu's coming. I used to read my Bible, but you know, now I just, you know, maybe once a month I pick it up. So you're doing less than you used to do. You're not being faithful. You're not continuing. I used to share my faith with people. When's the last time you? I used to do it, but I don't really do that. I used to come to more services, but now I come to less. I used to actually give an offering plate, but now I don't do that anymore. So you're doing less. Whenever you're doing less, you're going the wrong direction. And you're not being faithful. Next, we must be learning. Romans chapter 10 and verse 2 says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." That was Israel's problem. Oh, they were zealous. By the way, Paul was zealous, but Paul was wrong. Paul's zeal, before he was a Christian, was not matched up with truth. And so his zeal was misplaced. I've met people that sometimes that maybe they are caught up in a false belief system. And they're very sincere, and they could even be zealous, but if that's not attached to truth, it's not very profitable. We must be learning. Are you learning? Do you understand? By the way, learning is more than listening to somebody on the internet. Okay? We've got to understand the concepts, what God is telling us. And then lastly, and this was really Jehu's problem, we must be balanced. Do you know we don't have to choose between qualities? Am I going to be zealous or am I going to have knowledge? Both. Okay? Am I going to have truth? Is that going to be the part of my... Or am I going to focus on grace? Both. Okay? Love? You know, love everybody. I heard someone said, "We're not going to go to your church anymore. We're going to go to another church because they just talk about love." Yeah, I thought, you're right. We hate people here. We hate Jesus. We hate everything. You're right. Yeah, we just hate. No, there are some things we should hate, right? Should we hate sin? Should we hate things that hurt people? Okay? Some, you know, was it Charles Spurgeon that said, "You can't love roses if you don't hate weeds." Okay? And so the two go together. We have to have both. Passion or compassion? I'm excited, but it's time to help people. Okay? You do both. We have to do both. Be balanced. He wasn't balanced. He was all about doing and combat and warfare, but he wasn't about obedience, relationship, and really knowing his God. And what happened? He kind of slid back. By the way, he saw it in his children too, who took over after him. And so what about us today? Are we Jehu Christians? Do we kind of just, you know, buy into what we want and kind of bail out on what we don't like? Did we start out well and do great, but maybe now we're starting to struggle and we're kind of going backwards a little bit? God wants us to be balanced. God wants us to be faithful. And God wants us to take it all. Let's all stand together this morning.